Hi, everyone. I'm Charlotte Simpson. I talked really generally about my thesis, and I'm just going to say a couple words to sort of orient you because I'm taking things out of context and it might be confusing. So basically, I'm reading a prose piece and a poem about the unknown. And the unknown in my thesis represents different things for each character, but specifically to the narrator, who finds herself very lost in her own imagination. The unknown represents something that she allows herself to submit to, and then her escape is not easily accomplished. So the first one is appropriately coined, opener. Opener. At night, the door to my bedroom just opens by itself. How rude. You are beguiled by your hinges, door. Do me a favor and shut yourself so I can lacquer you with snores, squeaks, and sleep-bound smirks. Your lock clicks so slick and you slide open, and with a creak, it's all over. My eyes widen as I wince, scanning the opening. There is a moment of paralysis as I search the light that slithers in for evidence of some fear. And the next piece I'm going to read is a prose piece, and I've never read it out loud. I've actually never read prose out loud at any reading I've ever been to, so this is exciting. It's called Space is the Place. My sister is turning 16 today. She's 7 years older than me, which is interesting because she was 7 days late and I was 7 days early, and we are both born on days that are multiples of seven. I am May 14th and she is June 21st. My lucky number is 4 and her lucky number is 3, and those two numbers add up to 7, so it's almost like we both have the same lucky number, which is important because these days, most of the time, we don't feel very lucky. See, she said she didn't want to have a party, but we all knew she really did. Mom used to say that teenagers lie about things like that. So we decided to throw her a surprise party. It was the perfect plan, and I got to pick the theme. Usually I don't get to make those kinds of decisions, but somewhere between my dad suggesting that we hire someone to do illusions and saying, rhinestones, rhinestones, and pink over and over again, I had to step in. We picked a nice night for the party. The stars were so bright, and even though we couldn't see them because of our roof, I could feel them eyeing us. I did a lot of planning and a lot of blowing up of the balloons because I wasn't old enough to buy a helium tank. I spent most of the night in a dizzy spell, blowing up balloons and rubbing them against sweaters, rugs, and my hair. They clung to the walls, and I was satisfied. By morning, they were almost touching the ground, and by the time the party started, they were on the ground, but Dad said that was okay because it looked intentional, even though it wasn't. I was just frustrated that balloons couldn't follow simple directions like keep your chin up or stay limber. The balloons remind me of my family. We each have our own color and our own warm shapes. We stick together like static for a while, but eventually we drift down and settle into our own corners. That's what I think my sister's up to, drifting away and hiding herself in dark corners. She'll fly faster, climbing higher until she reaches balloonia. In no time at all, she's going to disappear. We don't really know what will happen then. That's the mystery, I guess. Mom always talked about balloonia like it was a real place, but I don't believe in it anymore. Here's what I think happens. The balloons drift upwards, and the ones that don't make it past the atmosphere... Oh, sorry. The balloons drift upwards, and the ones that don't pop make it past the atmosphere and into space. Our atmosphere isn't real. It's all rubber. At least, that's what I like to think about. Even though we can't actually reach them, a part of us can. They are our rubber tentacle extensions into the beyond. I think about the planets before I fall asleep, and when I wake up in the morning... And thinking of them in that inky darkness makes my spine tingle. Even if there's a supernova that wipes out everything except Earth, I will convince the world that the other planets still exist. I will preach the word of the heavenly bodies, even if the universe is empty and black. I wish I could feel the Earth moving under my feet, and I wish dark matter would flow out of our old sinks and run over my hands and make them dirtier. I wish I could feel dark energy. I think that's what my sister has. I think that's why we need to have this party. We need to reel her in. My sister thinks it's pointless to think about planets. Dad says she rants about it. She doesn't think the human race will ever get farther than the moon, and if they do, she says they'll have a hell of a lot of problems on the way. Then she says that space travel is worthless anyway because we only have so much time on Earth, so we should enjoy it. So I ask why she doesn't think that exploring the universe should be part of our life on Earth, and she pauses and just looks at me. I can barely see her eyes because of all the black glitter she wears. Dad says she looks like a raccoon. She finally says that if we were really meant to explore space, we would have been endowed with gills that allowed us to breathe, where there was no oxygen, skin as tough and wrinkly as a spacesuit, piercing orange eyes, and instead of toes and fingers, we'd have tiny jet propulsion units. Her life is a neon tilt-a-whirl. I think space travel is the most exciting part of exploration, but she runs her hand over her mohawk and says that I am so ridiculous. She says the real reason we haven't gotten to Mars yet is because we're too afraid of what we would find. So, her party is space-themed. That was my plan to the theme all along. She was angry at first because she doesn't think party themes should complete with the true final frontier, which she says is age. She didn't even want to attend her own party at first. But then we lowered the lights, and she stepped into the transformed living room, and it dazzled her. She said that everything was so cool. We had covered the entire house in black plastic bags and stuck 500 neon green stars all over the walls. I was put on planet duty, which means I got to draw all of my favorites in neon paint. Jupiter was so big that we had to put it on the ceiling, and it was so bright that it cast a warm pink glow over the whole room. For once, space didn't seem as menacing as my sister continually reminded me it was. The guests arrived late, and my sister was totally stressed out about it. She blamed the theme, but when people saw the living room, they were sucked right in. My dad brought in the huge spaceship cake, and everyone sang the song. I couldn't really sing. The candles flickering and the neon light were a sight to see. I felt so comfortable that I didn't want to move or make any noise in case I broke the spell. I thought that if I moved around too much or sang too loudly, the living room would turn into a vacuum and space would be sucked in and I would be left standing in the usual boring oatmeal and plaid nothingness of the living room. I was in a whirl and I stood there smiling as everyone sucked down cake. No one noticed that I put tiny stars over all the eyes in our family portrait that hung above the fireplace. Then I was put to bed. I could hear the balloons being crushed under combat-booted feet and the cake being eaten by dirty hands. After I heard Dad close the attic door, I snuck downstairs. I wanted to visit space while we had it in the living room. Girls were cooing and boys were screaming in dark corners. The punch began to taste different. I was wearing white pajamas with planets on them. It was perfect. All the older kids sang out ooh and ah as we danced together under Jupiter's pink glow. Our eyes were white, our teeth were pink, and when we stuck our tongues out, they were black. My sister wasn't even annoyed that I was downstairs. She even said, hey, space is cool. I saw them pouring bottles into the punch that made it glow brighter. It was like fire on my lips, and when I drank it in, my fingers felt like solar flares. Fingers on fire! Fingers on fire! I screamed into the farthest reaches of the living room. They screamed back, baby's on fire! Don't put her out! I kept thinking about dark energy. There were so many hooded eyes like my sister's and white hot sun-crust smiles. A sizzling in the back of my mind reminded me of the dark corners my sister was drifting in and out of. My white pajamas bled into the green stars. We began to orbit in the neon glow with eyes flickering like the birthday candles. We made our own universe and stole cat-eyed glimpses of every inch, but really, we were grinning more than peeking. We were exploring the space, unafraid of what we were going to find. Beneath Jupiter's glow, we emptied flasks of time into the punch that were supposed to be spent phoning home. But phones weren't necessary. As we were shouting loud enough to send transplanetary messages to our beloved Earth dwellers curled up in their snooze vaults, ground control, do you hear us calling? We like to watch the Milky Way drip and Neptune's skirts dip. Hey now. Now, don't be jealous. We are taking snapshots of the planets as we cruise by. We can feel the blaze hot on our tails. Zero gravity, finger snapping, stardust sways. We are floating in the most peculiar ways. Hours passed, but we didn't notice. Whenever they wanted to leave, I danced with them and they stuck around. I was a solar human hoarder. I belonged with these people. They loved my pajamas and they loved space. They wanted to understand. They wanted to talk about why Mercury has no atmosphere. They laughed at my Martian dance and they cried with me over Pluto's recent demotion. My life was a neon tilt-a-whirl. Then someone turned off Ziggy Stardust, and a new sound began to make the chandeliers splatter. There was voodoo in the air, as Mom used to say. Our bones rattle to the grumbling pulse of hands, feet on the wet floors, and the pinching of damp skin on heavy hearts. The guests began to orbit each other, and I began to understand that gravitational pull was actually our hips twisting. Our arms made of nebulous shrieks and the ice cream cake spit that was getting passed around. We shouted for ground control, but they were on break. Someone had spilled their coffee, sending a hot stream across Jupiter's surface, blinding its stormy eye and casting a ferocious red glow over us. We were gnawing on cords of dark matter, strummed by the ghouls of our murky interiors. The corners radiated dark energy. The pulse of it, palpable over the growling, grew louder. Jupiter's glow couldn't illuminate the corners, even when it narrowed its stormy eye and gave those dark places its most penetrating look. The guests plunged their fingers into the corners and scooped the darkness up. It was similar to the way Mom used to slice her gelatinous fruitcakes. They came in red, green, blue, and orange. When her knife went in, it came out clean, but finger knives are imprecise, and the gelatin darkness only comes in black. Our hands were covered in a gloomy film of dark energy, and it began to spread. The darkness slithered and jived with us like hot wax that traveled up our arms, smoking in the corners of our mouths instead of saliva. We passed it around and leaned into each other. It was sticky stuff. Our arms felt like the serrated edges of fly legs, but I guess the shadows have to have some way of sticking to us. I used to roll marbles down Mom's gelatinous cakes before she served them, but we weren't smooth like jello, and when we ran our hands over each other, we stuck fast. In Jupiter's hot blush of booming light, the guests contorted themselves, their stretchy organs fused limb by limb, arms and legs braiding together, conjoined nostrils and eyes made a gruesome portrait of winks. But in the darkness, I heard their mouths creak as lips grew cushions for craters. Betel guest was forming. Under the hot neon lights, the dark energy was taking shape from the inside out. It was a new home. Smiling jeans plunge over Niagara Falls and embrace from the corners, and above it buzz three tiny black holes. The darkness invaded quickly. Its stream of supernova juice spread over the living room to the farthest reaches of the carpet and beyond. In that darkness, the only light was the red now emanating from Betel guest. The soft chaos of the planet grew sharper as the darkness engulfed us, and we just let go, floating upwards and annihilating ourselves. The eruptions began. The lava flowed evenly as Betel guest spun slowly on its axis, cooking itself into creation. I felt its gravitational pull tempting me as their hips did only a moment or hundreds of years ago. Their arms, legs, faces, and bristling hair were one and infinity, like the nooks of the house. The balloons rolled down its smooth surface and popped into its atmosphere. The guests were gone. I orbited the planet. The static left over from the balloons rushed past me. We stuck to each other in the patchwork of the house. I floated away as I heard the door shut for the last time. I tried to say goodbye, but the words disappeared.